Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name, the one we worship this holy day. Amen. I want to talk about the gospel lesson today from Matthew 5, this amazing, eternal, sacrificial, forgiving love that our God has for us, that he calls on us to have for one another, even our enemies. We pray. Lord, richly bless the preaching, the teaching, and now the hearing of your holy word this day. May it be a great seed that's planted in our hearts that bears much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends in Christ, we all have enemies. Meaning people we don't like, they don't like us. We don't like to associate with them, they really don't like to associate with us. Some are more severe enemies than others. We all have enemies. Jesus had enemies. How do we treat our enemies? That is really the question of the gospel lesson. How do we Christians treat our enemies? Jesus gives three examples in the gospel. It's a very practical gospel lesson. Three examples of what someone, an enemy, may do to us in life. If someone slaps you, they assault you, we would call it today. They hit you, push you, do something bad to you. What do you do? If someone steals from you, he talks about someone suing you for your tunic. That was the inner garment. In other words, robs you, steals from you, does some injustice to you. What? How do you treat? How do you treat that neighbor? How do you treat that enemy? Then someone forces you to go 1 mile. This was common in that day when a Roman soldier would force a Jew to do an errand for him. Walk a mile or do something, and you had to do it. He'd kill you. He was your enemy, but you had to. You were forced to. We would say today you're bullied. People try to dominate you, force you to do things you don't want to do. They bully you. How do you treat such a person? The bully, the thief, the one who assaults you, the enemy. There are three responses we Christians tend to have towards the enemy. Two of these are okay, but then there's the best. First of all, when someone mistreats us, one way we treat the enemy, that person, is to just let them be. Leave them alone. Walk away. Don't say anything. Don't do anything back. Just kind of walk away passively. Keep your mouth shut. Because you don't want to cause any further conflict. You don't want to escalate the conflict. So just kind of walk away, let them be, and go on. It's a common way we treat enemies. We're Christians, after all. We're not supposed to hit back. I'll just kind of walk away and let it be. Well, there are times we need to do that initially, certainly. But there's a problem with that. We're sinners. And if we just leave the enemy be who mistreats us, often they will mistreat us again and then again. And then what happens to us is we're mistreated. We see that person and we get angry. Because they hurt us. They slapped us. They stole from us. They bullied me. They gossiped about me. They hurt me. We get angry. And we get angrier and angrier as we see that. And they don't apologize. After all, they're our enemy. They won't apologize. They may hurt us again. And then that anger turns to hatred. I hate that person. And I seethe with hatred. Then I hold a grudge. And then I hope somebody else hurts that person because I can't, because I'm a Christian. And we have this bitterness in our hearts, this coldness towards this person. We probably talk about them, think about them, and we get stirred up. And they're still our enemy. And it might be even worse than what it was before. You know, I was a chaplain at a hospital in Fort Wayne for 3 months, a student chaplain, part of my seminary training years ago, and I still remember this. And I was appointed to kind of be head chaplain over the emergency room for a while, meaning if there was a terrible accident, a death, I was supposed to go down and minister to the family and so forth. And so about the first day I was there, a student chaplain, kind of shaking, kind of nervous, what am I supposed to do? I was called down to the emergency room, and a man had died, about a 65, 70-year-old man had died of a heart attack, and they tried to resuscitate him, but he was dead there in the emergency room. So I walked in very sheepishly and scared, oh no, what's going to happen? There's only one person in the room, and that was his wife, who was standing there, only person. So I went up to her, and I just kind of tapped her on the back, and I said, ma'am, Paul, I'm a chaplain. I'm really sorry for your loss here. Can I pray with you, spend some time with you? She looked up at me wasn't crying, wasn't grieving, very cold face. You looked at me and said, it's about time that blankly blank kicked the bucket. Nice way to begin my chaplaincy. That's a woman who had a grudge and had a lot of hate in her heart towards her. Her husband was the enemy, who probably mistreated her. She held it in for years, I'm assuming. And now it's hatred. Now it was a grudge. He was dead physically. She was dead in here. Letting your enemy be doesn't really solve anything. You just get angry and hate. And then there's still an enemy. A second thing we tend to do is we exercise the law on our enemy. We bring down the law on our enemy. And we may do this in a personal way. Meaning you slap me, I'm going to slap you back and maybe a little harder to teach you a lesson. I did that plenty of times with Dave, Mark, and Jim, my brothers. And you're going to rob from me, I'm going to rob your tunic and your t-shirt and your sandals to teach you a little lesson. I'm going to stand up for myself after all. I have to stand up for myself. I'm going to exercise the law on you and get you back. You bully me, I'm going to bully you twice as bad. I'll make you walk 3 miles rather than just one, buddy. I'll show you who's boss. I'll stand up for myself and provide justice here. It all sounds reasonable, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, although I want to take both your eyes from my one eye after all, and 3 teeth from my one tooth, because you deserve it more, because you're a worse enemy than I am to you. Let me be clear. You heard it in the Old Testament lesson, it's taught elsewhere. We Christians are never, ever, ever to get personal revenge. It's not part of being a Christian. We never, ever get personal revenge. Never. Vengeance is God's. God deals with it in his own way. But then there's the exercise of the law through the police. Now, this is better. This is okay, certainly. The Lord here is not teaching that we can't call the police or get the courts involved for the sake of justice. So someone slaps you, that's called assault. They hit you. I'm going to get the law, I'm going to call the police and have them arrested. You can do that, might be a good thing to do. They rob from me, well that's a crime. I'm going to call the police, they're going to be arrested, thrown in jail. You exercise the law. It's an okay, proper thing to do. After all, police and government are a gift of God to handle these type of things for us so we don't get personal revenge, you see. You bully me, well that's not really a crime, but if that happens at work or at school, I'll tell the boss, I'll tell the principal, you're going to get in trouble for bullying me and forcing me to do things I don't want to do. And certainly, there are times we need to get the police involved and the law involved in that way. They are a gift of God to help us with that. But the law is weak. The law only divides us. It never unites us. Because even though you do all that, your enemy now is in jail. He's on one of those little magazines at Pilate, just caught. Ha ha ha! They're in jail. Well, guess what, Christian? You still have an enemy. And he or she is probably even more angry at you. When they get out of jail, guess who they just might come after? You again. There's still conflict. There's no reconciliation. You still have an enemy. And that's all the law can do is create enemies among us. I have a neighbor. I've talked about this in Bible class a couple of times. And her name is Irene. And she's a nice lady, but a pretty tough lady. She's a widow. 75, 80 years old. She lives right next door. Her driveway's just a few feet away from my driveway. Her garage really close. Been neighbor for 15 years, and we get along okay. She's kind of a tough lady, though. Wouldn't call her an enemy, but, you know, there's a little friction. And she's very territorial. If anything gets in her yard, she doesn't like anybody or anything or any dog or any cat or any paper getting in her yard. It's her yard. And so I will have my garage up and a candy wrapper may blow into her yard. A bit of a newspaper may blow into her yard. Something like that. And it's unintentional. I don't see it. But guess what she will do with that candy wrapper? She won't just throw it away. She'll stick it in my mailbox. So when I open my mailbox, there's the candy wrapper. Oh, something must have blew into Irene's yard. She's saying to me, don't mess with my yard. And me, as a very proud, egotistical man, what do I want to do? It's time for candy wrapper against candy wrapper. All right, if something blows into my yard, I'm sticking it into your mailbox. I might even put it in your front door. And I'll go further. If a leaf from your tree comes into my yard, I'm sticking that leaf from your tree into your mailbox, lady. And if a blade of grass blows into my yard or on my driveway, God forbid, I'm taking that blade of grass, sticking it into your mailbox. Blade of grass for blade of grass, leaf for leaf, candy wrapper for candy wrapper. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, the Bible says. But I just create more of a problem, don't I? And I have make my neighbor more of an enemy. And there's more conflict and more guilt and regret and worry. No, we are called not just to let our enemy be or exercise the law against our enemy. Then we still have an enemy. What does Jesus say in the gospel lesson? We are to, starts with a big letter L, love your enemies. Say with me, love your enemies. One more time, love your enemies. That is astounding. That's amazing. Love my enemies? Come on. I'm supposed to hate my enemy, knock them over, destroy them, and put blades of grass in their mailbox when they hurt me. Love your enemy. Why? Because this is God who loves his enemies. And when you love your enemy, guess what might happen? When you really, really love your enemy, you just might make them your friend, so you no longer have an enemy, you have a friend. And then you're friends, and you're friends with God, and they're in heaven with you. Now, isn't that wonderful? Everything that Jesus tells us to do in this gospel lesson, Jesus himself does. This is really a commentary on Good Friday, Matthew 5. It's what happens on Good Friday, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday. Christ carries this out for us. Christ was slapped. He was hit over and over again by the soldiers. Yet he didn't retaliate. Not at all. Why? To make us enemies, his friends. That's why. Christ was stripped of his clothing. Stripped of all of it. Stripped of everything. The Roman soldiers, of course, threw dice for it all, didn't they? But he didn't retaliate. He didn't strike them all dead. Why? To make those enemies his friends. That's why. Christ went the extra mile, carrying a cross on his back. He went to Calvary. He went to hell for us. Why? Didn't retaliate. Didn't just crush people with a bolt of lightning. Why not? To make his enemies his friends. That's why. What love God has for us. Christ prays for his enemies, gives to people that ask him. Everything is right here, Good Friday, the love of enemies. The book of Romans says, while we were still sinners, one of my favorite Bible verses, while we were still enemies of God, when we slapped God in the face, when we stole from God, robbed God, slandered God's name, when we were still enemies of God, Christ died for us to make us his friends. That we'd be in heaven forever. Do you want a friend or do you want to continue to have enemies? Let your enemy be, and he or she will still be your enemy. And you'll have a grudge in your heart. You exercise a law on your enemy? Maybe with the police, you need to do that. But oh, go reconcile and have a friend, or you still have an enemy if you don't. Jesus was slapped, you see. He was slapped over and over that we might be hugged by the Father today. That little Olivia might be hugged in baptism. He was slapped that we'd be hugged by our God and be God's child. He was stripped of his clothing that we might be clothed in the robe of righteousness that Olivia now has. Shining in glory before our God. What a God we have in Jesus. He went the extra mile to Calvary's cross, carrying a cross. That we might go miles into heaven being carried on the wings of angels. And be with our God forever. This love of our God compels us. You have that enemy? Turn the other cheek. That means forgive. And forgive and tell that person, you may hurt me and harm me, but I'm still your friend. I'm still going to care about you. I'm going to forgive you and be there for you. I'll stand in front of you. I'm not going to run away. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not here to hit you back. I'm just here to be here for you, even though you hit me. I'm here to love you. Give your cloak as well. The cloak was the outer garment that the Jews would sleep in. It was very, very expensive. You didn't want to get rid of your cloak. You get cold at night. Give them everything. They steal from you. If someone needs it that bad, give them everything you have. That's love. That's what God does. To win their heart and make a friend. Someone bullies you. Go the extra mile for them. Serve them willingly and cheerfully. Smile on your face. What else can I do for you, buddy? You might win a friend. And a friend for God. And they'd be in heaven. The love of Christ compels us. to finish up with Irene, my neighbor. You know, I'm a proud, egotistical man. I know it's hard for you to imagine after 15 years. Pastor with an ego, come on. But we had this little petty candy wrapper deal going on. I never put a candy wrapper in our mailbox. So. But, you know, it snowed a couple years ago. And I shoveled the snow off my driveway one morning. And I don't know what got in me. I guess the Holy Spirit, I went over and shoveled her driveway too for her. Wasn't asked. She looked out the door and said, "Oh, thank you, Paul. Happy to do it." It snowed some more, and Lord knows we had snow this year. Shovel her driveway every time now. Now she comes out of her driveway. We've never really talked a whole lot, but now she comes out and talks to me. "How you doing?" We have a nice, friendly conversation. "Thank you so much for shoveling my snow. No problem." I did it again. Guess what she did? She brought me out a box of chocolates. Ah! I'm going to do it again. I just might get some steak out of this deal, huh? Just a simple way to try to win a friend over. She was never really an enemy anyway. Love. Can you love someone? Make that enemy your friend. We all have enemies. Don't just let them be. Don't just bring the law on them. Love your enemies. Make them your friends that we'd be in heaven forever. Amen. We stand. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Offer